the Apostle John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much that Jesus came the first time, that when he comes the second time, we might be with him in his eternal city. Please show us what Christmas means and why it matters this morning. Amen. So I wonder, what's your favourite thing about Christmas Day? Anyone awake enough to share? Benny, what's your favourite thing about Christmas Day? Presents. Anybody else? Can I top presents? Are we all just presents people? Anybody? Yes, go on. Family, seeing family, or indeed staying away from family. I don't know which one it is for you. Probably seeing family, that's good, isn't it? Family and friends, it's excellent. Katie. Okay, I'm getting food from Katie and from her mum, so that's good. Nettie, go on. Having a meal prepared for you. Do you trust the person who's preparing the meal for you?
Yes.
Excellent. Good. I don't know whether David's doing the cooking or whether David is also affirming the cooking will be good. Excellent. Indeed. Well, there's always the clearing up afterwards, but that can be left till Boxing Day, can't it? So that's all right. Anybody else? Anyone else got a joy? Mary, go on. Speaking to the family in Australia and so forth. Yeah. Yes, little barbecue on the beach or something. Only slightly jealous. Excellent. Anybody else? Chocolate. So specific food. You're not the first person to say that to me this morning. I love Christmas Day. I love Christmas Day because it means we're now allowed to put our decorations up. We've done that already. But I would like us to do Christmas, put the decorations up on Christmas Eve, so I can. I no longer am allowed to say, please don't put the decorations up. We are doing it. We're having lunch together. It's an amazing. I'm looking forward to food. I'm looking forward to the presents and time with family and friends. I genuinely have no idea what I've got coming to me from under the tree this Christmas. I have become my dad, I think. I have all the things I need apart from thick woolen socks, and so I suspect that's what I'm getting for Christmas. Handkerchiefs. Thank you, David. What I want us to think about this morning is a time in the future when every day is better than Christmas Day. We've been looking forward to Christmas, haven't we? Very excited. I wonder who was up earliest this morning. I won't ask for a show of hands. I was driving up from St. Luke's this morning, and there's a little girl on the radio who said she was up at 4 o'clock this morning. Anybody else get up at 4 o'clock this morning? Very sensible. That is super keen, isn't it? At Christmas, we look back to the day Jesus was born, and we celebrate it, and we love it, and we should do. But the reason it's so important is because Jesus came to open the way for us in the future to be welcomed into his eternal home. That's what the death of and resurrection of Jesus is about. The gates will be opened, and we'll be welcomed in. So I want us to spend just a few moments together this morning looking forwards in the hope that as we look forwards with joy, it adds a little bit to our joy of Christmas, our love of Christmas in particular. And the first thing I want to see is that we get to be God's people, fully experiencing what it is to be God's people. That's what verse 3 says. They will be his people. We will be God's people. That's us, the church, you see, in Revelation 21. And I want us to walk through the passage, really. Just have sort of look at some highlights through Revelation 21 and 22 this morning to show us how good it is to be God's people. verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And why does this world have to pass away? That seems like an odd thing to look forward to. This world is broken, though, isn't it? Doesn't work properly. We don't function properly. We've separated ourselves from God, and Jesus needs to bring heaven and earth back together. There was no longer any sea, we're told. That's not because God hates surfing. If you're a sea-born sports person, I think there will still be the opportunity. But the Israelites were not really boat people. Although they were coastal people, they were not really boat people. The sea represented chaos. It was big and untamable and scary. And I quite agree with them. I don't like crossing bodies of water if I can avoid it. But in the new heavens and the earth, there will be water, but there won't be the chaos or the scary. Now, the supernatural power of creation will be tamed and brought into proper order again. Then he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. It's a brand spanking new creation. Heaven brought down to earth, shiny and beautiful and new. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Actually, if you know your Bible at all, that's the promise from beginning to end of the scriptures, all through the Bible. The question is, how is the promise going? The promise that God would bring his people back home into relationship with himself, to him, to live with him, to know him face to face, to enjoy his presence forever. How are we doing in the story? Pretty clear we're not there yet, isn't it? Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This world will pass away, and with it, all of the things that cause misery. We love Christmas Day, don't we? But even Christmas Day can be ruined by fights or falls or the new present you've just got that someone's just stepped on and broken, not from personal experience. But I imagine some of us here have had that happen. We miss the loved ones who are not with us for whatever reason. We carry pain and hurt from the year just gone that we can't just leave outside and say, just leave me alone for one day. Even the most jolly of us knows that this world is not right. But as we're brought into God's family, so all the things that hurt us will be left outside. No more sin, no more being sinned against, no more trips or falls. No more tears at all. I wonder, when was the last time you cried? Would you admit it to yourself? For some of us, I take it, it might have even been this morning. What is it that makes you cry? There'll be no more tears and no more causes of tears. Tears will be impossible, and God will wipe the last tear from our eyes as he welcomes us home. When we get to be with God, everything will be put right. So much so that we will even look back on the saddest days of this life and somehow we'll be able to see with fresh eyes, to even be thankful for the worst days, because at least then we know what joy and laughter truly are when we get home. This life is hard, isn't it? But he who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. I wonder, do you trust God to tell you the truth this morning? All the Bible is trustworthy, of course. And so when Jesus says, write this down because this is super trustworthy, you better believe that this is true. These are certain. This is our future. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I have all power for all of time. There's nothing outside of my control. It will happen. It is done. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. brothers and sisters, as we look forward today to the sort of Christmas day to come, the day when Jesus comes back a second time, we can look back with joy to the first coming, knowing that he has done to make us his children. Of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Or didn't we, that God is bringing his people together, wiping their tears away, making them his special treasured possession. But our writer John doesn't stop there. He wants us to see how different this new heaven and the new earth is from the present creation, how it's better in every way than the world we live in now. So we look forward to it together and are excited about what Jesus is doing. So let's begin at verse 1. Then the angel, yes, there are angels. Actually, if you read through Revelation up to this point, John has been guided by angels through the whole book. There'll be angels there. There'll be all sorts of extraordinary things there that we're not expecting. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. I was struck this morning thinking about where we normally see rivers running down the middle of cities, usually after a great big flood, and people are sort of kayaking to the shops. That's not what's going on here at all. There is a river down the middle of the street. We can think, because the weather's so wet at this time of year, we can forget that water is so essential to life. But if you lived in the Middle East, that would be really obvious. And this is a picture of God's abundance. This is special water. It flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb Jesus. It's a picture out of Ezekiel. Actually, if you've got a few minutes today and you want to have a read, then Ezekiel 40 to 48 is the passage to go to. It's a picture of a trickle that becomes a great flood as it expands out into the world, of God's abundant, life-giving generosity to all people. And here it's flowing down the middle of the city from the throne of God in the main thoroughfare, the place where everybody gathers. Everybody wanders through this way and they can just take a drink whenever they want. And not just at water of life, the abundant life-giving goodness of God, but on each side of the river stood the tree of life. I don't know if you have fruit trees in your garden. Lots of people do. Maybe you get sort of small crab apples or something you have to make into chutney because it's not quite right to eat them. They're not quite sweet enough. Here, there are trees that have 12 crops according to the month. Each month, there's a new crop. It's almost like you pluck an apple off the tree and a pear grows in its place overnight. And it's like there's food enough for everyone. So we've got the life-giving water, and the tree that's fed from this life-giving water has superabundant crops of food for everyone. And not just so, not only do we have the water and the food, but we have the leaves, and they're really useful as well. Leaves for the healing of the nations. I did a little Google search this week, last week probably, actually, on plants that we use in medicines. There's lots and lots of them. I'm a child at heart, and so I was particularly amused by the plant psyllium. I thought that nobody's called a plant psyllium Marianum, but apparently you use the seeds of that tree to work on liver disease. And actually, you could spend a whole lifetime looking at all the different applications of plant life to healing the body. But these trees are so full of life that the leaves are used to heal nations. Not of sickness, but of conflict. Whether that's conflict between members of the same family, or different racial groups, or different nations, as we are fed and watered by God's abundance, So all of our hurts are healed, and we are drawn into one whole people. So much so that John writes, no longer will there be any curse. No more trials, no more strife, no more tribulation, no death, no pain. Everything that ruins this world is gone. In its place, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Because God owns us as his people, because we're his treasured possession, our relationship with each other will be perfect. And there will be nothing to mar our perfect life. There'll be no more night. I don't know about you, I quite like the night time. If I lock the door and I feel safe at home, I then go to sleep. I feel safe. But the night time was not a safe time in the ancient world. People didn't have door locks on their houses, and there weren't street lights. There weren't electric lights at all. People lurked in the dark. Bad things happened in the shadows. People do evil things when they think they can't be seen. We talk about bad things being brought into the light, don't we? When they become known. But here, in God's city, there are no shadows at all. There will not be need for light of lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And since God is all through the city, it's as if there's just a diffuse glow of light everywhere. There are no shadows at all. And they will reign forever and ever. We will get to sit on thrones with God and reign over his creation. Our God will be the light, that the moral light that guides our steps, the light by which we see everything. As we see God, everything will assume its proper place in our imaginations. And we will become God's perfect people in God's perfect place. I wonder, do you see why Christmas is such good news? Verse 12. Jesus says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you hear just then in verse 14, Jesus says some people have the right to go through the gates into the city. Jesus has opened a door and invited us through it. That's why he came that first Christmas, why we celebrate it, why we continue to celebrate it every Sunday, week by week throughout our lives. His kingdom is a perfect place because God is perfect. He will purify us so that we are perfect, and so that all wrongs are righted, and so there is abundant life for all. I know it's really hard to imagine, isn't it? Because it's so much better than this world. And during Advent, we've been looking forward to the return of Jesus to bring that about. And here he promises, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. But maybe we've just spotted there, right at the end of the Bible, Jesus says, I will give to each person according to what they've done. And that could be quite a scary thing, isn't it? That's not how we normally think about Christianity. Maybe it is how you think about Christianity. Verse 15. What does it mean? Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And we're tempted to look at that list and find the things that we don't do, aren't we? Hopefully we're not murderers. But I was just struck again this morning as I read this, how easily our culture has been contaminated with falsehood. We're post-truth, aren't we? We don't know who to trust. Fake news and bots and all of that. Increasingly, I think, we're having to rely on face-to-face conversations because we can't trust the newspapers and we can't trust what's online. We don't trust our politicians. We don't really know who to trust because untruth, lies, are everywhere. People who love and practice falsehood. Of course, there are people whose lives look completely like all of these things. But I think if we're honest, we know that the nature of all our hearts is somewhat in this direction, selfishness and sinfulness. Sometimes even loving what we know is wrong. Of course, as Christians, for those of us who are Christians, we should hate our sin and we fight against it. And we know that Jesus will make his people perfect one day, but this isn't that day. We know that we have done wrong sins. We've confessed our sins already this morning. We want to be those people of the future now, but we're not there yet. And so that might leave us a bit scared. If Jesus is going to give to people what they've done, might that mean that we're all in real trouble? Yes, for those who are outside, for those whose lives are only characterized by these things, but there is a different path for those who want to be with Jesus. He doesn't say the good people get to heaven. He doesn't say on the balance of your life, the better people get to be with me. He says, verse 14, blessed or happy are those who wash their robes, which might make you think, so it's cleanliness is next to godliness then, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city. So the blessed people, those who have the right to the tree of life, that abundant life, and to go through the city gates, they're the people who've washed their robes. If you were with us on Sunday morning, some of you weren't, we were looking at Revelation chapter 7. Where we wash our robes in the blood of Jesus. So what Jesus is saying is you've got one thing you need to do. Trust in his death and resurrection. That is why Christmas is so important. But if you know that, Christmas is important because Jesus came as a baby to die in our place. He died the death that we deserve to bring us into the place that he deserves. We can have the right, we can know this morning that we have the right to walk through the gate of the city and eat from the tree of life and drink from the river of the water of life and to be marked on our foreheads by God's name and to know Jesus forever. A place where we will finally be free from sin and curse and able to live the life that God made us for. We're not there yet, but when we get there, every day will be better than Christmas Day. When we are God's people, in God's place, living perfectly under his rule, we're not there yet, but we will be. And we need to hear the voice of Jesus this morning. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. This is a gift to us from Jesus. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. You can trust me. And so you can be God's people. We're not yet in God's place. We're not living perfectly under his rule yet. We shouldn't expect to be. But we live with hope because of Jesus that one day we will be God's people in God's place under his rule, free from sin and all that makes this world hard, to live in his new heavens and his new earth. And that is a pretty good thing, isn't it? That's a thing to make us celebrate Christmas all over again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we praise you that you planned all of this to bring your people into that place, the new heavens and the new earth. Thank you that you're preparing a seat at the table for all your people. And please help us to love Christmas because we love Easter, because we love the return of Christ and the day when we get to be with him. Please help each and every one of us to be people who are trusting in his blood for us so that we can know today as we walk out of here that we have the right to walk through those gates and enjoy that city forever. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.